This morning was awesome. This morning was awesome. And I know what kind of a morning she woke up to, so you guys don't realize how awesome it was this morning. And I had one of those mornings myself, deciding when to share the story. So, you know, yesterday we talked about the lily of the valley and kind of a little bit about being laid down lovers. And there was a few things that I didn't point out that I did want to point out. Just some practical things about being a laid down lover, which means somebody who's laid their rights down. It means somebody who's laid theirself down and just opened it up wide open and said, "Here, Jesus." Like we've been hearing about all morning, that we've opened up and said, "Here, Jesus, I belong to you. You can do whatever you want." That's a laid down lover. And a couple of the little practical ways what that looks like, little places like, now, this may not mean much to y'all, but this is a big deal for me, and those who know me will know me, this is real. Do you always have to be right when you're in a conversation? Do you always have to be right when you're in an argument? Do you always have to have, do you always have to know more than everybody else? Those are little things about being a laid-down lover, and the reason I say that is because competition in the body of Christ is a big deal. You know, we're all fighting to find our place. We're all fighting for our rights. We're all fighting to have our place where we feel like we're important. That's a huge human need, you know? And so we're all fighting for that. And if we're fighting for that, we're inevitably fighting each other. So the Lord, one of the things the Lord really, in pruning me, that's really dealt with me on is competition. I would be the queen of it, you know? The Lord's really dealt with me on that I don't have to be right. I don't have to know it. Okay, so let me just tell y'all this little story that I've been on. And I mean, this little journey that I've been on for the last month. And I'm going to try not to, because we had a word a while back, and it was called, I don't even remember what the word was all about, but it was when agony and ecstasy meet. And I can't remember what all the words said, but I can only imagine it must have been about being pruned. Now, Roxanne had no idea that that's what I was going to talk about some today. But it must, that word must have been about being pruned. And so, this morning, I got up and I told the Lord, I said, I'm really stressing out about doing this today because yesterday you told me this is what I was going to do and I had notes and I was really excited. But last night you spoke to me and you said, "I don't want you to do that. I got something else for you to do." So I thought, well, okay, well, you'll tell me everything to say before I go up there. And I'm spending time with the Lord and I'm crying out to him and nothing. I cannot do anything. I can't think. I can't get a thought together. I can't write a note down. And I was like, "What the heck, Lord? I'm fixing to tell Craig you're on today." And then all of a sudden, like the song says, his peace came over me. And he spoke to me and he said, "Just come. Just come. Just let me lead you. Just go. Just trust me." I was like, "Lord, you're asking me to trust you in a way you've never done before." But I was freaking out, okay? Sort of. I was sort of freaking out because on top of the freaking out was like this extreme excitement of like, "Oh my God, okay, this is it. I did pray, Lord, throw me in somewhere that I'm over my head, and if you don't come through, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I want to know about that anointing." So I'm sitting there, I'm going, "Okay, this is it, Lord, you're doing this to me." So this morning, the entire morning, God was pruning me. I had to lay down what you guys were going to think. I had to lay down the fear of whether or not it was going to work out and stand on the ecstasy of seeing it work out, knowing that God was going to be faithful for me. A couple weeks ago, I was standing in the kitchen over there, and I was just worshiping the Lord, and I was flipping through YouTube. What do I want to listen to next? And I'm going to try to be quick. And all of a sudden, this guy pops up, Jimmy Evans. It's marriage stuff. And I thought, And I thought, well, because I'm thinking, I already know all this. So I listened to it. And I'm listening to it, y'all, and I'm starting to weep. I'm weeping because I'm going, oh, my God. I have been a failure at this. I've not, and I knew I just hadn't yielded to the Lord in this area. And right at that moment, y'all, I mean, God broke my heart. It had to do with my children. It had to do with Craig. It had to do with everything. God just broke my heart. And at that moment, that's a picture of being pruned. That's a picture of the dead falling off and the life coming out. Y'all, our house has been a different place since the Lord did that. And it's not like we were just miserable, but actually we were. I mean, I was making things miserable there for a while. Just saying. So I'm trying to keep my thoughts going here. I'm trying to keep on them. So Roxanne was talking about God prunes us and he takes the dead things off us. And the Lord just kind of spoke to me and he said, actually, because we think, okay, when God prunes us, he takes something dead off of us and then life comes. Actually, life pushes that dead thing off of us. It's already there. The life is pushing it out. It's in those deep places where deep is calling to deep. See, God's already deep within us. We're already the rose of Sharon. We're already the lily of the valleys. But if you read this, to me, what I saw was the lily of the valleys that grows in my Bible. I love it. My version is awesome, the Amplified, because out in parentheses it says that grows in deep places. In the deep, dark places of your soul that you have to surrender to God, that's where you grow into the lily of the valley, those places where he prunes you and life pushes the death out. But if you read on, and I want to tell y'all something. It could be where you failed. It could be your own failure. Y'all have been hearing this, but it's real. Your own failure pushes you into new life. Your own failure. The minute you look at Jesus, life just bursts out of there, and he takes your failure and he over, how's that go? He overrides it for good. Your failure. I'm talking, he just sees you as beautiful and takes that failure and just turns it into something wonderful. If you keep reading on down, you go from her saying, I'm the lily of the valley. I'm the lily of the valley. She's saying that about herself. Right immediately, he answers her and he says, yes, you are. You are like the lily among the thorns. That's you, my darling, among the maidens. And like we've been listening to, the maidens are other Christians and stuff. And the Shulamite's called to a deeper place. She's called to lay down and just lay her life down. That's a person. She's being called. We're all called, but she's actually running after it. And that's why, because she's running after it, he's able to say, you're a lily among thorns. Okay. So what I saw there was that, like a lily among the thorns, so are you, my darling, was a verb. It's not just like, oh, I'm the lily. You're being a lily. You're what you do, everything you do, you're being a lily. You're shining. You're portraying Christ as you lay your life down. But we know that none of that's possible without knowing who we are in Christ. None of that is possible. I can only not try to promote myself if I know that my life is in the hand of God, that he has best intentions for me, that he already has a plan for me, and all I have to do is walk and love and care for people and put them first. I don't have to give myself preference over them. Put them first and just enjoy in their success. Just rejoice in them, you know? That's real love, y'all. That's laid down love that comes out of being those moments where you let him prune you. And so I was walking over next door, and I was just thinking, Lord, agony, ecstasy. Lord, this is agony today and ecstasy because I'm thrilled that you've asked me to do this because this is a new place. I get to just walk with you and see your faithfulness. And I was excited, okay? That's his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. When you're in his presence, you can't help but walk in joy. And that joy overrides everything else. But I'm walking over there. And I just started thinking, it's really cool how this version says the time for singing has come, but the Amplified, I think, says the time for pruning has come. Pruning, you think, would be a miserable thing, and singing would be a happy thing. So why are they interchangeable? Because pruning and singing are really the same. Being pruned is redemption. When you're being pruned, you're being redeemed. God is bringing life out of death. And it can be a little scary and a little painful, but at the same time, his presence, because you're hearing his voice, you're just hearing his voice, the whisper of his voice brings joy. It isn't something that you achieve because you start doing good. His presence brings joy. When I encountered the presence of God over there about the Lord really dealing with me on something that I'd been doing, when he dealt with me on that, y'all, I mean, I was running to him. I was more than happy to let it go, because his presence spoke it so beautifully to me. I was hungry for more of that presence. And then I laughed at myself because I'm talking about condemnation, no condemnation, and who we are in Christ. You know, we have a real tendency as people to condemn each other into doing right, like we've talked about. And I just wanted to share this because I thought it was cool for the Lord to break it down for me. When we try to control people, when we try to point out what they're doing in order to keep them from doing it, it makes them hide. And when they hide, they can't wait to find a way to get away from that feeling of condemnation. And it usually makes the person do the same thing over again, because you're just doing whatever you can to get away from that feeling. But when you're hearing God speak to you with unconditional love, when you can be pruned, hearing his voice speak to you with unconditional love and mercy, it doesn't matter if you put yourself in that situation. It doesn't matter if someone put you there. Nothing can stop you or separate you from the love of God. Nothing can stop it. And when you can hear him saying it, and when you can see his arm stretched out, when you can see him saying it to you with unconditional love, you want more. You want more of that presence. And it makes you want to do that thing less, because even though you find yourself falling again, and I'm telling you, I know this from falling over and over and over again, it makes you want to fall less because you get tired of losing that gaze. That gaze is amazing. And when you're looking at him, you feel nothing but exhilaration. You feel nothing but love. You feel nothing but accepted. You feel nothing but security. And I think it's amazing, amazing that every time he calls us, every time you encounter him, you leave his presence. Well, you don't leave it, but you enter into his presence, and whatever you go back into, whatever it was that was bothering you is gone. It's not the situation that changed. It's your focus. It's the fact that you're focusing on joy. It's the fact that you're focusing on the beauty of God. So pruning and singing, being a lily, becoming a lily, keeps going round and round and round, and just grows and grows and grows. Amen.